Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. I keep saying I'm mopping up on this five-point series, and so the mop's still out. First Corinthians 15, verse 1, just a couple of verses here. "And I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Let's pray. Well, we're grateful to you for instructing us. The world is, even on such a good news item as salvation, seems determined to mess it up, to make it cloudy, to keep it from being understood, or to twist it and make it something it's not. It turns into bad news. And Lord, we know there's an aspect of bad news to good news, in that if the good news is rejected, it's bad news. And there's bad news for us who are in sin that makes the good news even better, because we see our sin. But Lord, we pray that we would understand, as we encounter people in this world who have begun to believe things that are not true in your word. And may, Lord, we be sensitive to that always, that you would instruct us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the glaring contrasts between Calvinism and Arminianism is this matter of security, whether when we're saved, we remain in that state. Calvinists believe in the perseverance of the saints. That's the fifth point on our side. And that is that all who are truly saved will persevere to the end. They will not deny the Lord. They will not transfer their allegiance back to their former state. They will not jump out of God's hand. He said no one can take us out of his hand. We will not sign back up in the kingdom of darkness. Once we're saved, we're always saved. We are forever a saint. Arminians believe two things. Some believe in security, some believe not so. The core position for Arminians is that salvation needs to be held on to. And, you know, we got Baptists, Free Will Baptists, and there are other denominations that, you know, believe that you can lose your salvation by failing to keep it up. If you believe and then you're not later on of the same mind or action, then what you had before just goes away. You actually go away and you go to your previous point, and you need to be saved all over again. Some would say that might not even be possible. But Southern Baptist Arminians is a third class. Really, there are two classes of Arminians. Southern Baptist Arminians believe in eternal security. There's nothing wrong with believing that when we're saved, we're eternally secure, but that's only half of perseverance of the saints. So Southern Baptist Arminians believe in eternal security without perseverance. It's not connected to your fruit or your life, because they say to do that would make it works, which is silly. All perseverance is saying is that you were really saved, and since you were really saved and regenerated, you will remain that way because of the work of God in us. But the eternal security only group of Arminians say that once that decision is made to believe, that sticks. You don't lose that, even though you fall away, even though you look like an unbeliever. You may not make Jesus Lord, some say. That's ideal if you do, but you don't have to. You may not be obedient. You may not serve the Lord. You may not change. Once you make that decision, you're in it. Even if later on, maybe even become an unbeliever, you're still stuck in it. That's why a lot of funerals, there are a lot of reasons for this, but a lot of funerals, you get people who are saved according to the preacher, because the preacher's attitude is probably, once that decision is made, they're eternally secure on the basis of the decision, not on the basis of any work in the heart. So they believe that since they believed, they're saved. They later on fell away. They don't look that way. A lot of people talk about needing to go up and open the casket up to see who's in there when they hear the preacher talk about them. But that once they did that, they're stuck with it, even though they later on fell away from it. So security is a big issue, and it's a vast difference, 180, between the two, although there's, within Arminianism, a little bit of a conflict between that eternal security and losing your salvation. And I immediately understand why the Arminians think the way they do about security. There's a couple of reasons. One is that Arminianism is based at first on the decision of a man, a decision of a sinner, a human being, to believe, and that belief is effectual because it's belief. The Calvinist talks about an external call and an internal call. The internal call is that which is never resisted. The external call is resisted, the call to believe. But the Arminian believes that once that external call goes forth and a person decides to believe, that is effectual, that God hears that and then causes us to be born again. From the Calvinist standpoint, I think you've got all this down. From the Calvinist standpoint, he causes us to be born again first, and then we believe in logic order, although that all happens at the same time. So that sets the tone. If you set the tone from the beginning that our belief is what causes all this, it's easy to think that our believing, continuing to believe, is what keeps it going. Beyond this is the observable fact, and we see it, that professing believers fall away. They go to church for a while, they don't. They believe for a while, they act like they want to read their Bible a while, but then they're gone. So many churches have members on the rolls, hundreds of members, if they don't, get rid of the dead wood there. They don't prune the list. They got hundreds of members who at one time believed, well, then they went back. It's about that since they made the decision again, the thought is, well, they're saved and they're in the church, but they never come and they never take part and they don't do things which we expect Christians to do. So, they just assume that they're okay, but, they're not here. Or not living a Christian life. So that bothers the Arminians, who say, well, you call that grace? That looks like cheap grace. That looks like they've either got a cheap view of salvation, or they were saved at one time and now they're lost. Because part of the system is to consider that decision is genuine. So since if they think it's genuine, then they have no, to be able to live with somebody who lives like the devil after becoming a Christian, supposedly, the best way they deal with that is to say, well, they must not be a Christian anymore. I understand that. And people who believe don't understand that. We're all opposed to that kind of view of salvation, or we should be. People who profess belief without the fruit of righteousness or a changed life. We just saw this morning about being filled with the fruit of righteousness. Well, that makes a difference. We grow, we get better, we learn more, but the root is there, the seed is there, and the normal Christian life is to advance in godliness and righteousness. When you see that not happening, that's very confusing to people. people who are saved but are Arminians are befuddled about that. I've heard them say, I just don't know how people could live who are a Christian who could live that way, because they don't see it. It's not consistent with the Bible, and they're right. And by the way, everyone who is saved on the basis of what Calvinists teach, not on the basis of what Arminians teach. Arminians are not saved by externally calling upon the Lord and then the Lord doing something. In every case, the Lord does something first. That's what we've been studying. And we don't get to choose the order in which the Holy Spirit saves a person. The Holy Spirit opens our heart. We receive the things that are preached, and we're converted. We become new people by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's in every person. A person who's Arminian who believes that, you know, he believed and got saved, he just got his, you know, understanding off in that regard. If he's saved, he was saved the same way everybody else is saved. But if you believe that a decision is effectual, then you're going to trust that decision, and it's going to put you in a confusing place when you think that someone who made a decision doesn't look like a Christian. They've not really been regenerated. It's made no difference. Some people learn to live with that, and they figure it out some way. They're backslidden, you know, whatever. But you know, we're with them on that. I mean, really. How do you understand that? How do you understand the people who are Christian and then they don't act like a Christian? The Bible tells us that, and this verse tells us tonight. But so this is why Arminians believe in eternal security even in light of an unchanged believer, because of the decision. But others say, no, there's no way that person ever was saved. They must have lost it. Because they believe the transaction was good, even if it doesn't look like it is. It may be hard to understand, but many people don't believe in believing in vain. This verse 2, Paul says, unless you believed in vain. A lot of people don't believe you can. And that is the heart of an Arminian belief, is that when you believe, it is not vain. The Southern Baptist version of it, that when you believe, it is effectual. It works. They say belief is never in vain. Jesus is waiting. We got songs about that in the hymn book. Jesus is waiting. And when you tell him he can save you now, he jumps on in there, and there's nothing you can do now. You've been saved. And God always responds to belief of any kind with salvation. Now, they'll talk sometimes about sincerely believing and all, but it gets all muddy. So it's either always there without evidence, or it's lost without evidence. You either have it and no evidence of being saved, or you lost it with no evidence of being saved. That's the two positions of the Arminian on security of a believer. And the Southern Baptists believe that the eternal security, you always have it no matter how you look. Now, the Bible teaches that a believer has eternal life. He will never come under condemnation. He has passed from death to life. Jesus said that in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. That settles it entirely, or should. Jesus says there that when we believe, effectually, obviously, that we will not come into judgment, but we have passed out of death into life. If you believe you can lose your salvation, all that is foolish. It means you do not have eternal life because you lost it. It wasn't eternal if you lost it. It means you will come into judgment because you're now not saved anymore. And you have not passed out of death into life, because now you've passed out of life back into death. So that's turns that completely around. Recognition that people are living outside of their profession requires a biblical explanation. Why is a person who professes to be a Christian, why does that person live like he's not a Christian? And there are biblical answers to that. And it's not that they can lose eternal life, and that there's condemnation after a person is forgiven in Christ, or that believers can live without being filled with righteousness. Look at this passage. It tells us what the reason is. Now, if there's ever a church where you might doubt the genuineness of the faith of the members, one of the churches it would certainly be the Corinthian church. I'm not even going to go back through all the stuff in this epistle. You know about it. You've read it. All the things they were doing wrong, all the fighting they were doing, all the immorality that was going on, just page after page after page. The tongues was all messed up. The miracles and the sign gifts are all messed up. They were messed up in every way, more than any other of the epistles of Paul. We see the Corinthians are struggling in this. But just leaving all that off, just in this chapter, which is on the resurrection, look at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, Easter's coming up. Suppose on Easter I ask from the pulpit, how many of you believe in the resurrection? And we get maybe 50% of people raising their hand. How many of you don't believe in resurrection? 50% raise their hand. Well, there you go. Something's bad wrong. And in Corinth, some of them didn't believe in resurrection. How can you, if Christ is raised, how can you not believe there's resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. He says, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, I mean, you're still in your sins. Your faith is worthless unless Christ rose. So there's the Corinthian church. Some of them don't even believe in the resurrection. So Paul notes here in verse 1 into verse 2 how belief came to the Corinthians and its state and how it exists in true believers. He says in verse 1, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you. Well, the gospel is the outward call. The gospel is the call of God to repent, to believe, so your sins can be forgiven. That was preached to them, and they received it. They received the gospel. It means they believed in it. They accepted it. And then it says, in which you also stand. So it is a completed action. It's preached. It's received. And then they stand in it. That's their hope, and by which verse 2 says, also you are saved. And he's using a lot of parallel phrases there. But they received it, they stand in it, they're saved by the gospel. And then you get this big word, which is only two letters, if. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. If. That's all that people who believe you can lose your salvation need to see. We're saved if. It's because it right back to us. That's the Arminian way. Puts it right back on us, they say. If. It means you're saved if you stay that way. In this particular case, if you hold to the word which I preach to you. In other words, you hold to your belief, hold to your faith. So people say, see, it depends on us. If we don't hold on to it, we lose it. Is that what this if means? If you hold fast the word which I preached to you. The Christian church has beliefs given to us by the apostles and prophets. We have the word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. We have basic doctrine that we believe. We can't have a wing of the Christian church that believes in salvation by works. A church that believes in salvation by works has denied the faith, and they are not considered to be in practice united with the teaching of Scripture and what is the church. And so when a believer, and it's the same as Paul said with the Galatians, that they'd forsaken the gospel for something that wasn't a gospel, a legalistic approach. And if they continued with that, they could not be truly believers. They would be have abandoned the faith if that were truly their condition inside. And so Paul says, if you hold fast, holding fast is a matter of perseverance, which is what Calvinists teach, is what we do if we're saved. If you hold fast, it's an evidence that you're saved. So if you wouldn't hold fast, it's an evidence that you're not. If you fall away, deny the whole thing after. And so because God holds on to us, we know that we'll hold on to God. So Paul could say, if you hold fast, that's just part of the whole being saved. Your heart's been made new. It won't be made unnew. Your mind's been renewed. It won't be unrenewed. On and on. So it's saying that defectors, people who one day are Christians and then the next day or two or month later or year later, they're not genuine believers. He's just saying if you're a genuine believer, you hold on to certain things. The word which I preach to you, the doctrine of the church. You hear it all the time. Some preacher used to believe in hell. Now he doesn't believe in hell. And it usually slides down from there. Some famous celebrity years ago, was a big a Christian now. He was going around to all the churches, giving his testimony. After a while, he decided to go back to Judaism. He thought Judaism was better. You see, this happens all the time, unfortunately. Especially among celebrities, you get your little bit of attention, and then they don't ground themselves in the word, and so they fall away, because they weren't genuine. But there's another thing here that says this more directly than just making a conclusion from the fact that they don't hold on to the doctrine, because it says the latter part of verse 2, unless you believed in vain. Now that is direct. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, that's a bit indirect, although it's a direct action, in that he's saying, if you hold fast, you are saved, which is because that's part of being saved. But unless you believed in vain is at the top of the list. If you believed in vain, well, then of course you're not going to hold fast because you didn't get the other part. You believed in vain. To believe in vain means you believe without the outcome of salvation. You believe without result. That the believing is empty. You see a star fall in the night, in the evening sky, and you make a wish on it, and the wish doesn't come true. Why doesn't the wish come true? Because the star doesn't even know you're down here. It's empty. No, your belief is empty. Find a four-leaf clover. Oh, good. I'm going to have good luck. No, it's empty. So when you believe in vain, you believe without the outcome of salvation. It doesn't come. So you're not changed. Now, again, remember that the Arminian position is that when you believe, when you make a decision, that it is not in vain, that it is genuine, it works. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible notes here that when you deny the faith, when you deny the truth, when you walk in a way that is outside the sphere of Christian doctrine, well, then you are not a believer. You've believed in vain. Well, how could such a thing be? We've heard it all of our lives. All you have to do is believe, and it's genuine. Go forward, it's genuine. Again, we get a lot from Matthew 13. If you want to look, turn to Matthew 13 or flip over there, however you do it. verse 3, Jesus gives this parable. I'll go through it a lot because it's so good, especially for this. Matthew 13, verse 3. He says, he spoke to them in parable, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And again, it's an agrarian economy, sowing, reaping, planting, soil, all that. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. When the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, there's the parable. If you look down at verse 18, you'll see the interpretation of it. Parables have, you know, a one-to-one relationship with other things. And so he says in verse 18, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown by beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now, this is the person who believes, as long as there's no cost or requirements. I have to read the Bible. I have to witness. I have to walk with the Lord. I have to give up my sins. I don't change my mind. The one, verse 22, on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. If you want to know a Arminian church as opposed to a Calvinistic church, you would find out how many believe in how many of those beliefs they believe were genuine. Some will say 75%. Arminians would. Calvinist church would say 25. Well, who believed in vain? The seed on the road didn't bear false crop. They didn't believe in vain. They didn't believe at all. The good seed was clearly not in vain. It was 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. It sprung up and had fruit. So the seed that was unfruitful was the two. The seed sown among rocks. There was not enough ground for it. And the sun got down on it and, you know, took it out. There was no depth of soil. Persecution wiped it out. Cost wiped it out. The one among the thorns was choked out by the world. So those two became unfruitful. That's the basic definition we're talking about. Believing in vain is believing without fruit. Believing without the result. Believing without being changed. Those two were unfruitful. The one didn't even pretend. So you have to, there was vanity in the sowing along the roadside, but not believing in vain. There was believing without vanity in the good ground because it bore fruit. It had a crop. There was believing in vain between the other two that were unfruitful. The belief was temporary. People make a mistake all the time. I bet it happened, I don't know how many times today. Hundreds probably. If not more. Of mistaking the springing up with eternal life and genuine conversion when it's not fruitful. What we see here is momentary belief on an impulse. They wanted to go to heaven. They wanted a, you know, cheap grace. They wanted to include God on their resume. But it's not a work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is symbolized in the parable by the good ground. The Holy Spirit makes the ground. The Holy Spirit prepares the ground, opens the heart, it receives the seed, and it grows. The Holy Spirit's in one of those plantings. People who believe in vain will fall short of salvation and will not bear fruit. That's how you know. And some people are slower to develop than others, and some people are coming with a bad background and they've got some confusion to deal with. But the general course of life expected and required really by being saved is that you grow. You bear fruit. You're filled with the fruits of righteousness. So, you know, you're obviously going to show that. You're full of that. There's another example in Acts chapter 8. Simon the sorcerer. Philip is preaching. And there was a big, big movement of God there. And much rejoicing in the city, verse 8 says, now there was a man named Simon, verse 9, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. When they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the reason for that was so that the church would not look like it was divisive. Peter was the one who opened the gates on all cases. He was the one that went to Cornelius for the Gentiles. He's the one that shows up in Samaria for the Samaritans. It's the same church, in other words. So Peter and John go. And so the Holy Spirit did not come yet because he's having it all be the same. Then began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit, verse 17. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, you're already seeing something wrong, very wrong. Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Notice he didn't say, brother, brother, brother. Simon, I think, was one of these temporary guys. He was looking for power. His gig was up when the Holy Spirit started saving people in Samaria. For him to get on with his attention business, he needed to be able to do what Peter was doing and John. And so all he was after was the marvelous works, the showboating. And Peter noticed it. We see even his heart's not right with God. Again, he believed. But the belief was just what we see here in also Matthew 13. You believe in vain. And in our text, this is believing in vain. Now, a person who believes sincerely, who is truly saved, has believed not in vain. That was the caveat that Paul mentions. You have been saved unless you believed in vain. Not that you were saved and you lost it. No, it's if you believed in vain. The gospel that you've heard, that you received, in which you stand, in which you're saved, if you don't stand in it, and if you don't receive it by the work of the Holy Spirit, and you don't hold then to the word that was spoken, well, then you believed in vain. The believing was just, you know, an act, one-sided. This is a scary thing because so many churches are geared toward decisions. And the work of the Holy Spirit is a whole different matter. And a decision is certainly made by those whose heart the Lord opens. But it's made as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is the world of difference between just summoning God to save you. Now, those who believe in vain never acquire the grace needed to persevere in the Christian life and to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, saw this morning, love, you know, joy, peace, patience, all that. That's something that the Lord, by His Spirit, works in our hearts because we have a new heart and a new mind. We go a different direction. We're a new creation. All those things are literally true. But not for those who believe in vain. So the issue then is not losing your salvation. And it's not having a salvation that doesn't look like salvation. Salvation is getting belief that's not in vain. Then you have a life that is not inconsistent with the profession, and you have a person who will not fall away, even though they may be tried and pushed and twisted and persecuted and whatever else. They will not deny the Lord. Because that's the seed that is inside of us. That's the issue in people who seem to fall away. They do fall away, but they fall away from a profession, not from salvation. They fall away from a external belief, from an act of man. But that which the Holy Spirit does in the heart, that really saves, we never fall away from that. Only belief in vain would cause us to fall away. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your work prevails. Your work continues because, Lord, it is your work. And we thank you for that. We give you praise for it, Lord. And that you truly save and maintain us in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.